This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Fed Access. We're having a great day, and we're going to have a great topic today, talking about clearance jobs. A regular guest on the show, Evan Lesser, he is the director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. He's been on our show many times and has always given us some good insight on what's going on with the government contracting market, with the defense market, with those who have clearances, how to find jobs, and everything else. Evan, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Derek. Good to talk to you.
You know, a lot is going on. We got a lot of topics to discuss. Kind of break us down in terms of, you know, let's hit maybe defense budget first. I mean, as we're kind of looking at, you know, different things, everybody's talking about the defense budget decreases. How is that going to impact not only the DOD, but how it's going to have an impact on the government contract community? What are you hearing?
You know, the numbers that are floating around right now are essentially that what is fairly confirmed is the fact that the administration is going to reduce the DOD budget by $35 billion per year over the next decade. So, you know, a lot of people think that $35 billion sounds like a gigantic number, and it is a fairly large number. But when you look at the overall DOD budget, it's a fairly good-sized drop in the bucket. So it's still a drop in the bucket, but there's a fair amount of you know, budget money that's still out there for the DOD. So as far as hiring goes, you know, we don't expect to see a big decrease. There will be some programs cut, obviously, but $35 billion per year is a great start, but it's still just a drop in the bucket for the DOD budget.
When you're looking at the DOD budget and we're looking at that $35 billion, I mean, where are those cuts coming from? Are they coming from more, whether it be health programs, or is it the reduction of you know, the force in Afghanistan, Iraq? I mean, where is that kind of savings or that reduction of the $35 billion coming from?
Well, they're still debating exactly where that's going to come from, but I think at this point, the drawdown in Iraq will be helpful, and some of that will go towards that $35 billion. But you're also looking at some fairly large weapons programs that perhaps have gone over cost, over budget, have been out for a long time, and those are likely to get cut as well. So I think you're going to be looking at some fairly large aerospace type of programs that will be cut. But, you know, you look at the DOD, part of the major expense that they have is simply maintaining benefits for military members, both, you know, active duty and retired. It's a huge effort, and just to administer that is something that is quite difficult and extremely costly.
Are we hearing that is there probably may be some changes in that, or is that just kind of a scenario that we just kind of all know that has to be dealt with, and you know, we just have to kind of keep on going with the status quo?
Well, I wouldn't say that they're going to keep it the status quo. I think what they realize now is that the administration system that's in place to handle military benefits is large and bloated, and it's definitely something that needs to be fixed. So it's going to essentially cost money to save money. So the talk at this point has been for the government and some select contractors to be able to come in and try to overhaul the system. I think a lot of that will be technology-based. And, you know, hopefully within the next half a decade, we can have a military benefit system that is much more honed and streamlined and efficient. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cost savings, I think, are going to be down the road. But this is definitely a case where it's going to cost money to save money.
So what we're talking about is a major shift of maybe kind of, and a lot of government agencies, a lot more of e-government, a lot of kind of maybe putting a lot more of the benefit, whether you're applying for benefits or you're checking your benefit package or whatever the case is, putting a lot more of those services online rather than having it as, I mean, of course, you have an infrastructure to back it up, but having those services that you don't have to have such a people-heavy and as many offices and as many other dynamics. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's essentially it. It's definitely on the administration side, but there will be plenty of other places that the Pentagon looks for as far as cutting, and you know they'll be looking towards each individual service to kind of put in their share. So at this point, the $450 billion over the next decade number or thereabouts is a fairly sure thing. The question is where it's going to come from. And you know, if you look at what's going on in areas like cybersecurity, there are plenty of things out there that we're going to need to put budget money towards. So while we're cutting, we're also having to either shift or expand the budget to cover some of these new threats.
So is it really kind of a catch-22 or just kind of a play with numbers? I mean, you know, like you said, cybersecurity has got to definitely increase, especially with the number of threats that have been growing in terms. They want to increase not only with technology, but they also want to increase in terms of manpower. So is it really just a kind of a shifting of the numbers as you scale back one program, you honestly put more money into another program so it almost balances itself out?
I think that, you know, we'll just have to figure out over the next half a decade or so how the overall numbers change for the DOD. But, you know, you're definitely going to see things like boots on the ground type of soldiers cutting. There have been some numbers that the Army has put out that said they could be cutting at least 50,000 or so soldiers by 2016. So, you know, that type of thing I think we're going to see come on. But at the same time, you've got multiple federal agencies that are scurrying to pull in skilled, you know, cybersecurity force. So you've got that happening at the same time. So you're going to see reductions in some areas, build up in others. But, you know, whether they equal each other out, I think is probably a ways off to be seen.
Is it, you know, they talk about the military, and you've been hearing reports in terms of a number of, you know, whether it be the Marines, whether it be the Army, whoever the case is. I mean, retention is almost at 100% these days. And even people who are trying to get into the military, the wait list is either long or people are being told that you can't even get into the military right now. You know, we hear two different things with this defense budget cuts. We're hearing about a number of different agencies, whether it be the Air Force or Navy, cutting 6,000 people, 9,000 people, whatever. Some people, I mean, they get the doom and gloom. Where are you on this, Evan? Because you see it from a dynamic of recruiters who are hiring and talking to employers. I mean, where are we? Are we in scary times, or is there hope out there?
Well, you know, one thing to keep in mind is that when you talk about defense cuts, you know, the numbers that are out there are fairly large, and people, companies do wonder, you know, how is this going to affect what they do. But when you're talking security clearance jobs, you've got more than just DOD. You know, you've got all the intelligence agencies, and those budgets are relatively unknown. But with the threats that are out there, one can only assume that they will either be flat or increase over the next half a decade. You know, you've got other agencies that require security cleared personnel, Department of State, Department of Energy, Homeland Security. So, you know, all in all, I think that the market with security cleared individuals is going to remain strong. You're definitely going to see shifts per what we've just discussed, but the amount of worry that's out there is fairly minor at this point.
With those people, so what I'm hearing from you is that there's still jobs. I mean, they're still going to be hiring, because when we're talking about maybe kind of reductions of force, we're talking about maybe, you know, trying to have the retirees maybe leave a little bit earlier, people who are eligible for retiree, not necessarily cutting a lower level workforce. I mean, is that what you're hearing?
That's essentially right, and I think the kind of shift that we've seen on clearancejobs.com job-wise has been fairly evident as far as what's going on in the news. So we're seeing fewer jobs for military trainers overseas. We're seeing fewer jobs for overseas logistics positions, fewer jobs for pretty much anything that's going on in Iraq, so infrastructure, HVAC, everything from people that set up water supply systems, construction, down to the IT and budget folks. So we're seeing just generally a shift away from a lot of overseas jobs, but a lot more that's picking up here at home. So the final days of BRAC are pretty much upon us, and the building that's been going on in various parts of the country is starting to wind down, but there's still plenty of that going on. I've already mentioned cybersecurity, which is easily the number one place now where we're seeing the most jobs coming out. But, you kind of look at what's going on, and that's really where the shifts are taking place employment-wise.
So you really have to follow the numbers and follow the shift and follow the dynamics in order to remain marketable in this market.
Pretty much so. I think that the government knows that it's going to need to do more with less over the next number of years. And with threats changing rapidly, you're going to find more jobs that revolve around cybersecurity, unmanned vehicles, things of that nature, rather than the large aerospace programs where you'd be looking at large weapon systems, large radar systems, aircraft, et cetera.
More conventional military is going to kind of maybe stand down a little bit, and it's more a lot more special operations, like you said, more drones, low-intensity conflict type stuff.
Exactly. I think we've seen over the past year that, the special operations folks that we have in our U.S. military are being put to the test, and they're coming through shining, and they've done a lot of good for us. So, those are the type of things that you don't necessarily need a multi-billion-dollar, multi-year aerospace project to accomplish. You're looking at highly trained individuals, and granted, they use a lot of technology, but it's of a very different sort than what we'd be looking at a couple decades ago.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on in this market in terms of defense contracting, defense hiring, in terms of people with clearances. We got a kind of a new number that came out about the number of people who have clearances. We'll talk about that and what the impact is on the market. We're talking to Evan Lester. He is director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. We'll be right back on this break. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
AT&T's commitment is clear. That's why we're announcing that with the planned merger with T-Mobile, AT&T will begin bringing 5,000 jobs to America from overseas. We will invest $8 billion more and deploy the next generation of wireless broadband to nearly everyone in America. This investment will create as many as 96,000 American jobs. We're ready to invest in America. AT&T.
Caps fans, don't miss two upcoming games at Verizon Center as the Caps battle the Ottawa Senators on Saturday, October 15th, and the Florida Panthers on Tuesday, October 18th. The Caps are off to a good start, defeating two division rivals to begin the season. Caps games are always huge events, and fans are always pumped up. This is the hottest ticket in town. The Caps have sold out over 100 straight games at Verizon Center, and tickets are extremely limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to washingtoncaps.com/singletix to do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Where did you leave it? Where could it have possibly gone? It's frustrating because you used to have your motivation with you all the time, and now, that's okay. We'll help you find it. First, let's find your reason. Your reason. What's that thing that makes you want to live to an age where you can say whatever you want to whomever you want, and somehow it becomes charming? Next, find your thing. What is that healthy thing you actually love doing? There's got to be one, right? Finally, go find your partner. Who's the ping to your pong, the downward to your dog? Who'll keep your butt moving and vice versa? Find all of those things. We're pretty sure your motivation will magically appear. But if you're still having trouble finding it, try looking really, really hard in the mirror. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we're here to help you find your motivation to thrive. Visit kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. Jeremy Martin is one of the top motocross riders in his age group in the country.
I broke my tib and fib and my right leg and my left arm at the same time. I broke my shoulder and I've gotten knocked out twice.
Mayo Clinic Dr. Amy McIntosh helps put kids like Jeremy back together. She did a study to learn what types of injuries are most common. There's lots of broken bones, most of which can usually be fixed, but also there are lots of concussions.
And we know that second impact syndrome, or getting that second concussion on top of an already, you know, first-time concussion, can have serious implications. And that's what we're trying to avoid.
Dr. McIntosh is now researching why injuries happen, what can be done to prevent them, and keep riders safe.
My goal is, and I keep telling the kids, is to keep you riding longer and safer.
For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Vivian Williams.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on WFED at 10 a.m. Join me this week for my special guest, Ruth Ann Clark, Senior Market Director with Wells Fargo Bank, Commercial Banking Sector. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the D.C. metro area. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for October is the Arthritis Foundation. Did you know that losing weight and exercise can help relieve arthritis pain and prevent further joint damage? Go to arthritis.org and sign up for healthy tips, a movement tracker, and ways to get involved with the Arthritis Foundation. They offer exercise programs, wellness tips, and more for the 50 million Americans suffering with arthritis. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. This message brought to you by Papa John's and Federal News Radio.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch. Thank you for coming by the show. We've been talking about clearance jobs, and we've been talking about the whole dynamic of what will happen when we get this defense budget that has a lot of decreases. What will happen in terms of kind of new hiring with defense? What's going to happen in terms of the whole market that's going on in terms of where the changes are in terms of threats and everything else, and how that has an impact on hiring? We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. They're a site that has not only government contractors, but federal agencies on there looking to hire people with clearances and looking to hire people with certain kind of skill sets. Evan, we had this new number that came out. What was the number of people who in the audit they found out that had security clearances?
Well, you know, it was definitely an interesting thing. I think that up until very recently, the government had stated it really didn't have a very strong number as to exactly the number of people that had clearances. So the numbers that had been floating around were 2.5 million people, including all federal employees, active duty military, and contractors that had a security clearance. And then that number was used for a while, and for lack of anything else. So, you know, recently the Office of the Director of National Intelligence came out with a report that actually revealed that 4.2 million individuals hold security clearances.
Wow.
You know, well over 2 million more than had been previously speculated.
That is a lot of people.
It really is, and it was a shock to a lot of people, and I'm assuming that there are a fair number of people in government that were shocked by the number as well. It was around 2009 that the Government Accountability Office had a report that stated that they were fairly confident that it was around 2.5 million. So it's definitely a big shift in numbers.
Now, are we talking about, when we talk about 4.2 million with people with clearances, are we talking about, what are we talking about? People from from secret level clearances all the way up to, you know, top secret SEI with Polly and everything else? Or are we talking from confidential all the way up to those higher levels? I mean, where are we talking about this?
Every level of clearance. The report definitely gets into that type of detail.
Okay. So we're talking about any kind of clearance the government offers, then it's in that report.
That's correct.
Okay.
And, you know, they focus mostly on what are called collateral clearances. So you're looking at confidential, secret, and top secret.
Okay. With all of that, I mean, how does that impact the market? You know, because, I mean, you guys deal with clearance hiring, you know, so Are the majority of these people who have clearances, are all of them employed? I mean, we had the BRAC. We've had some people, some contractors who have lost contractors. There have been some shifting and everything else. There's still a lot of people still looking for jobs, even those who have clearances. How does that impact the hiring market?
Well, I think what it does is, you know, it definitely lets employers know that the pool is larger than they originally expected. It doesn't necessarily mean that it makes hiring easier, but it gives them a little bit of hope. And, you know, an example would be some of the requirements out there. A government contractor or a federal agency is looking for someone that has not only a very specific skill set or years of experience, but they must also have the correct level of clearance, and then you get some of the soft things like a willingness to relocate, salary requirements, et cetera. So, you know, you're still looking at potentially a very small number of people that can fit any given position, but I think it's helpful for employers to know that the pool is larger than they had expected in the past. What that does to hiring, I think, will simply make employers spend a little bit more time focusing on the folks that they can find and waiting it out a bit, hoping that they can pull that right candidate out, knowing that the pool is larger. And in the past, there's been a tendency for employers to find someone that was maybe 50, 60, 70% appropriate for the position and then spend time to train them. But with that number going up by a few million, perhaps employers now are going to spend a little bit more time hunting.
Does that mean that recruiting is going to shift into a little bit more of a targeting recruiting? I mean, as you're kind of talking about, especially people who have certain, you know, specific skill sets and, you know, people who have, you know, certain kind of qualifications or certain kind of clearances, are we shifting towards a dynamic where recruiters are becoming almost headhunters? You know, I mean, they're looking for a certain person. They're contacting people who they say, hey, listen, I know you got this kind of background. How do you feel coming over here?
Yeah, and I think what you'll find is the increase in what we call passive job seekers. So it's a little bit of an oxymoron, but what we see is an increase in the number of people that are not actively looking for a new job, but these are people that want to keep feelers out. They want to know what's out there. They want to know trends as far as what positions are picking up, which positions may be falling off. They want to network with employers, in some cases with other potential candidates. They want to get feedback on their resumes, on salaries, et cetera. So that passive type of person we've seen on the increase for the past few years. And depending on who you talk to, sometimes those are the best folks to try to woo and hire into a company.
You know, I mean, as maybe a job seeker who has a clearance out there who's listening right now, a lot of people ask a question, especially if, you know, if that person is that highly sought after person, and you deal with this a lot, and if they are passively seeking, one, how do they do that and still keep themselves, you know, in a situation where they can keep their business confidential and it doesn't get back to their employer? Two, how does it look on the resume if they jump or, you know, well, some people will call it jumping around, but if somebody's looking, well, you know, you were here for a year and then you went here for another year, or, you know, if they don't necessarily have a complete level of 5 years at an organization, is that a negative now, or is that just part of the routine these days?
Well, there's a couple of points to touch on there. I think first you mentioned how does someone who's a more passive job seeker kind of keep in the know and know what's going on. And I think in that case, you're really looking at the old adage of knowledge is power. So the internet, for everything that it is, there's so much information out there that a person who is a more passive type of job seeker can gain access to. So, you know, someone who is really smart about it, even if they're not looking for a job right now, they have profiles up on certain places. They are contacting employers, building up a network of employers and recruiters that they can keep in touch with. Oftentimes they refer others on, but it's simply being out there to the point where you're able to gather information, make contacts, understand what type of salary you can command. So, you know, in the event that something comes up, whether it be a contract loss, a funding loss, or a personal decision to make a change, you're ready to go. It's definitely about being prepared.
So it's really about almost having, you know, for those people who are on a passive dynamic, one, you need to make sure you keep your resume updated, you know, and keep that current at all times, and maybe kind of keep a profile either on ClearanceJobs or some other site. Would you recommend, Evan, to have, you know, I see a lot of people saying, listen, you need to get a LinkedIn profile and everything else. I guess a concern would be, should you have that, you know, hey, that I have a clearance and I'm working for this intelligence agency or whatever the case is, should you have that kind of information on LinkedIn?
Well, you know, we would say no. And I think that if you look at the government's requirements for cleared people, you've definitely got operational security that all cleared people really have to maintain. And publicly stating your level of clearance, where you work, who you work for, what programs you work for, is dangerous, flat out. So, mm-hmm. you know, one would definitely want to try to strike a balance between having information out there enough that they can network with employers, but not having so much out there that they can make themselves
a target.
Yeah, exactly. On the clearancejobs.com site, we have what's essentially like LinkedIn, but it's built in within the site. It's private. It's only for users of that site. It's only for federal employees. It's only for federal contractors, and it's all restricted access. So, you know, it's definitely the type of thing where you kind of want to go niche whenever possible rather than, you know, throwing your resume out there publicly, because you really never know who's going to be viewing it.
Now, with that, and kind of just going on with that before we kind of jump into, is it a negative to kind of move around a little bit? You know, unfortunately, I've seen a number of people on LinkedIn, and maybe you have as well, or other social media sites, and we'll talk about that later on the show, who have these profiles. I mean, I guess maybe the word, that's kind of like what they call an operational security or OPSEC kind of nightmare. But, you know, maybe the word needs to get out that you need to be on more of a cleared community rather than being on a site. And maybe the advice is, you know, because everybody says you need to network, maybe it needs to be taught that how do you network with a clearance?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, there's a little bit of a catch-22 going on because, you know, the government essentially states that you do need to have that operational security. You do need to know what type of information you're putting out there and know what is safe and what isn't. But at the same time, you look at the government's use of social media, and the government is all over the place. You've got Facebook pages for every government agency. You've got multiple Twitter accounts for every government agency. The government has profiles on LinkedIn. They have their own social sites. So, you know, it's a little bit of a difficulty for a clear job seeker or a clear person to really understand, you know, how much can I get out there? Is it safe to store my stuff, you know, on the government's Facebook page? You know, what would make sense? So it really is a little bit difficult. It is evolving. But without a doubt, I think the main understanding for someone with a security clearance is just keep it smart and know what you're doing and where you're putting it out and what type of access is out there. Because most social media sites, the whole idea is sharing data, sharing information. So take a LinkedIn or a Facebook site, for example. That data ends up all over the place. So you just got to kind of keep in mind what's going on. And just because the government has a Facebook page doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be plastering your information all over it.
Right. I want to keep on talking about that for one more minute when we go into the next segment. We got to take a quick break. We're talking to Evan Lesser. Got some good stuff that we're talking about clearance jobs, about how you can navigate the clearance jobs market with the clearance and still network, still do this kind of passive job searching or active job searching, everything else that's going on with this market. Evan Lesser, he's director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Derek T. George on Fed Access. We'll be right back.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Hi. I just moved here and I need a new boombox.
Easy answer. The Insignia boombox with HD radio. We have the coolest radio stations here in town broadcasting with HD radio technology. HD radio receives those broadcasts.
Is that with the digital HD2, HD3 channels?
Yes. Plus, the Insignia boombox with HD radio is only $99.
Wow. Well, that's just what I need. Lead the way.
Insignia HD radio receivers. Get them now at Best Buy. HD radio. More radio, more value. Heroes should never be forgotten. And on October 15th, we'll honor and remember the more than 45,000 brave men and women of our armed forces who've been wounded in action overseas with the GTSI Charity 5K Run Walk in Herndon, Virginia, benefiting the Wounded Warrior Project, providing much-needed services for our injured and returning veterans. For race information or to register online, visit GTSICharity5K.com or visit them on Facebook at GTSI Charity 5K.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Airmen, we're on our way.
At EADS North America, we help our country respond to emergencies and natural disasters.
We see you. We're coming in.
From coordinating communications to medevac and emergency response, we provide the mission-critical systems our country demands. Every day, we support homeland security and defense missions here at home and around the globe.
Station secure. ETA 10 minutes.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
It's not always easy to know when a person is agitated or excited. Sometimes you may not even know when you are. So a new wearable device has been engineered to detect stress, bad or good. The sensor looks like a wristwatch but records movement, temperature, and small changes in electric currents on your skin triggered by emotion. Rosalind Picard of MIT's Media Lab is the lead inventor.
It changes with things that are changing in your brain, and you wouldn't think that information would show up on your wrist, but some of it does.
The device can help you and others understand what stresses and relaxes you. For example, people may have doubts when you say walking back and forth helps calm you down.
But when they see the signal plummet when you pace, they say, wow, that pacing looks like it's helping you. I'm not going to tell you to stop pacing anymore.
Currently, the sensor is mainly used for various research projects, but it could be available to the general public in a year. To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about some good stuff as terms of the clearance jobs market. How many people have clearances? 4.2 million, a new number that has just been discovered. And then also, if you have a clearance, you know, in this job market and you have a certain level of clearance, what kind of recruiting is being done? And also, how do you navigate the whole dynamic of social media when federal agencies and even government contractors have Facebook pages, Twitter pages, LinkedIn pages, and all the other kind of social media? Do you need to have this stuff? And do you need to be out there as well? We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. They run a site that posts jobs from the government contract community as well as from federal agencies, and they have on there only cleared job seekers. Evan, you know, we were talking about the social media dynamic. In terms of your advice, would you say if you are a cleared person and you know, some agencies will kind of be a little bit more sticklers about this, should you avoid, and even for new people who are coming into the market who are going to be getting clearances, because now they even have these social media intelligence services that will go through and look at your Facebook pages and look at any kind of dynamics that you have on your social media sites. Would you recommend that a person not have a Facebook page, or would you recommend that they not have these things and only kind of, you know, and keep their profile online very, very limited or non-existent?
Well, you know, I think not having a profile is something that's really difficult to ask someone in today's day and age.
Okay.
As you have seen with Facebook expanding, it really is trying to document your entire life from birth to present. So you know what a cleared person would need to understand is how to try to separate business from personal. Facebook is definitely a very personal type of site. But on any social site, you can definitely look at privacy type of settings and make sure that they are fully set up. Opening yourself up on a social site for a cleared person is definitely something they want to avoid. With that regard, you know, social sites are fine, but you definitely have to try to figure out what the limits are. And most employers understand that if you put company confidential, as far as your current employer, or my project deals with X, Y, and Z type of technology, but you keep it at a very high level, most employers understand that that's a fairly common and normal thing to do. You know, years ago, the idea was put as much stuff on your resume as you can, put mm-hmm. as much stuff on your profiles as you can. But if it's a social site, you definitely want to keep it to a minimum, enough that an employer could get an idea about who you are and what your skill set is, but not enough that someone else could come in and potentially target you.
Are employers, especially the employers you're dealing with, are they looking on sites like LinkedIn? I mean, are they actively looking for people on there, or are they just kind of sticking to you know, your site and looking at the people on your site? I mean, where are you seeing the trends go?
Well, you know, employers, including both federal contractors and the government, have stated in a number of surveys and polls that they are using social media, not necessarily as a recruitment tool, a primary recruitment tool, but they're using social media as a screening tool. So after they have identified certain cleared candidates that they're interested in interviewing, they will spend time to go out there and drop their name in Google, drop their name into Facebook and other sites and see what they can pull up. You know, some people are very smart about it, others not so much, but I could tell you some stories. We've seen a lot of people who have lost jobs, lost interviews because of some of the things that they post on social sites. And that's really kind of the reason that, you know, we created the Cleared Network, is because mm-hmm. it's only career-oriented.
Right.
It's all professional. You're not going to find pictures of your baby or your dog on, you know, on clearancejobs.com. It's definitely kind of more focused type of thing, and dealing only with cleared employers and cleared professionals.
Do you have tips and advice on your site that tells people about kind of, you know, do's and do nots in terms of kind of, you know, how to navigate this process?
We do, and, you know, I think one of the things that there's not a whole lot of information out there from the government directly that we've tried to provide to the 420,000 plus people we have registered on our site is to let people know exactly what people do and don't do that can cause security clearance to be revoked at their next periodic reinvestigation, or someone who's trying to obtain a clearance, what could potentially make them either have a delay in the clearance processing or not obtain the clearance at all. And that's something that is important and you know, can really help someone out. It's really a difference between night and day. We've had some job seekers who will come to us with certain problems, and again, knowledge is power. If they have certain information and they know how to handle a situation, it can mean the matter between them getting a clearance in 6 or 8 months or having to fight for it for a few years.
Right. With all of that, you know, are you seeing employers, because, you know, I've seen this, Evan, in terms of employers who will put out on a Twitter, hey, we're hiring for such and such. They'll put out on certain social media sites, you know, hey, check out this. We're bringing in this many people. Check out this job. You know, check out our job site. What's the trend in terms of social media? I mean, do you need to have maybe not necessarily a Twitter account where you're posting, but do you need to have these accounts in order to monitor agencies or government contractors who are putting these jobs out this way now?
Well, and I think that's one of the problems that we hear most often from cleared professionals on the clearance job site is that, you know, there's so much information that's out there. It's a steady, constant 24/7, 365 flow of data and information, whether it be this company just won that contract or someone's hiring for certain positions or layoffs happening or contracts being bid or rebid. Any type of information that could be important for someone's career, it's a flood. So they have to figure out how to focus it, how to filter it, how to funnel it, and pull in only the relevant stuff that will really help them out.
But how do you do that, Evan? I think you make a good point because we're flooded. You know, even in media, the amount of information in terms of press releases and news that comes out every day about all different agencies, government contractors, is completely overwhelming. You can spend, like you said, 24 hours and not even have touched 10% of it. How do you manage it?
It's tough, no doubt. I think that there are a lot of services now that are trying to do what they can to help you aggregate just what's important to you. You know, if you look at some of the apps that are out there for mobile devices and for tablet devices, you know, they're actually trying to take this massive data and try to get it into a funnel that makes sense for you, that's more personalized. As far as security cleared. Career-minded people, you know, that's really what we've done on the Cleared Network is that we've allowed employers the ability to still have a social media presence, but it's being focused in only for career-oriented messages and things of that nature. So it's not all this information that is a little too varied for someone to really be able to surf through, but something that's a lot more focused and targeted.
Hold that thought right there. We need to take a quick break. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is director and founder of clearancejobs.com. They're a job site for the basic clear community. If you have a, you know, clearance, is it anything from confidential to all the way up, or is it secret on up, Evan?
Any federal security clearance.
Any federal security clearance. So any clearance that you have, it's a job site for you that has government jobs, government contract jobs. We're talking to Evan right now. We'll be right back after this break. We'll keep the conversation going for the last segment, and we'll talk about what is happening in terms of emerging trends and also what are some new things on clearance jobs that may be helpful for job seekers. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Derek T. Dorch on Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's John Edgar, VP for Information Technology at the Postal Service, on the Storage Efficiency Panel sponsored by NetApp.
You know, if you look at the Postal Service with the data that we capture, again, there's more mail products, more data about the products. We're moving towards more real-time, near-real-time data collection from the mail carriers out on the street. Vehicles tie in the geospatial information for movement of vehicles and all that. The growth of that data is exponential.
To hear more, visit federalnewsradio.com, keyword storage.
How can you reduce your agency's IT budget and support the mission even more effectively? Here's a simple strategy. Cut one of your biggest IT expenditures in half. NetApp storage is flexible and easy to manage. It also requires far less hardware, at least 50% less for virtualized environments. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency built on NetApp and delivered by NetApp partners like Thundercat Technology. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal.
Government technology professionals should prepare to attend GovCom 2011, the new trade show featuring government audiovisual communication solutions at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, November 1st and 2nd, featuring nearly 100 leading manufacturers and solutions providers showcasing the latest in audio, video, conferencing, collaboration, control systems, digital signage, and visual display technologies. GovCom will help government agencies and the military boost collaboration, enhance security, improve reliability, and cut costs. GovCom is your opportunity to see cutting-edge communications products, network with fellow technology professionals, and get valuable training from leading experts in government and industry. For more information and your free exhibits pass, visit GovCom2mshow.org and use the code FED. That's govcomshow.org. GovCom is brought to you by Infocom International, the association representing the audiovisual industry.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit MyVillageGreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Enzymatic Therapy and Nordic Naturals.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Government IT executives, step into the past to start shaping the future. At this year's Executive Leadership Conference in Colonial Williamsburg, the American Council for Technology and the Industry Advisory Council's ELC Conference, October 23rd through the 25th, brings together government and industry leaders to address the acquisition, security, and human capital challenges you face in your increasingly mobile world. Register today at actgov.org. That's www.actgov.org.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. Thank you for coming by the show. We've been having a great show. If you missed the first couple of segments, you need to go back because some great information has been passed along about what's going on with this job market right now in terms of especially clearance jobs, those who have clearances across the government, whether it be confidential or on up. You need to know what's going on in this market. It's 4.2 million of you. I don't know if everybody knew that, but if you now know that you have a number of people who have clearances along with you. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is director and founder of ClearanceJobs.com. Evan, with this whole kind of market, 4.2 million people with clearances and everything else, what is the and then also a number of people who are trying to get into the market, whether it be students or other people, where are the emerging trends? I mean, where are we seeing new areas of hiring?
Well, you know, most cleared professionals kind of tend to think that the jobs are only in Metro D.C. or anywhere where there's a military base. Now, granted, that's partially true. There's plenty of jobs in Metro D.C. and in military cities like Dayton or San Diego or Tampa. But, you know, one of the things we've been trying to take a look at lately are what are some cities that are more up-and-coming, some places around the country that are maybe not as well-known but have a growing military jobs presence.
Like where? I mean, I know right now you're sitting in Iowa right now and, you know, kind of in the heartland. Are we talking about kind of jobs moving out to, you know, those places like, you know, the kind of the heartland or the Midwest? I mean, where are we looking at now?
Well, there's a few places that we've recently profiled. The first place that we took a much closer look at was what's called the Mohawk Valley region. So this is upper New York, Rome type of area.
Okay.
Up there, you've got the Air Force Research Laboratory. It's got a a huge impact on the local economy. But there's a lot of jobs that are coming up there. You know, BRAC has played some effect in that area as well. But you know, if you look at that area, there's definitely a lot of opportunity for cleared people, and obviously the cost of living is going to be a lot less than some other areas of the country. We also took a look at the Gulfport, Biloxi, Mississippi area. Definitely not a place that you would consider a military city, but the Navy has a pretty large presence there. More and more contractors are setting up there. You've got Kessler Air Force Base, which is one of the largest employers around there. They actually have 10,000 employees. Most of them are security cleared. And Kessler Air Force Base also has about 20,000 students that are training for the Air Force's electronics and cybersecurity division. So, you know, it's another area that's interesting and not one that someone would normally think of when you think about security clearance jobs.
So, I mean, what advice you probably are you seeing that there is an effort to bring people to these kind of more, I wouldn't say even remote regions, but areas that we have not typically thought about, you know, outside of the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia area. You've mentioned, you know, Biloxi, that, you know, no one ever thinks about that. I mean, there, you know, and when I was in the Marines, I did spend some time down there. There is some, you know, naval apparatus and everything else, but no one ever thought about that, to go down to Biloxi and maybe can get a federal job. So are we looking at a whole dynamic of saying, listen, shift your mind and not just think about major hubs or major cities, start thinking about kind of the outskirts of America?
Well, definitely. And I think, you know, a lot of the employers that we work with, they are trying to find people for locations that are, you know, they're known, but they're not as popular or as assumed to be a defense location as others. You know, Omaha, Nebraska is a great example. We work with folks at the Chamber of Commerce from time to time, and they're trying to find people for a fair number of defense programs there, but it's not the type of place that someone would ordinarily relocate to. But if you look at a place like Gulfport, Mississippi, you know, you've got defense contractors like SAIC, Lockheed Martin, Pratt & Whitney, Northrop Grumman. There's lots of jobs there, and they are jobs that are, you know, of a wide range. These are not just you know, Navy or shipbuilding jobs. These are jobs that are ranging from geospatial intelligence to all sorts of engineering, construction. There is some shipbuilding. There's cybersecurity, plenty of IT jobs, plenty of budget, finance, and contracts jobs. So for someone that is anxious for a new security clearance job, maybe wants to get out of a larger city and go someplace where they can get a little bit more a bang for their buck, yeah, they should definitely consider consider places like Seattle and the Mohawk Valley and Gulfport.
Real quick, Evan, what's going on with clearancejobs.com before we get out of here? Any kind of updates about your site and other things you're providing for job seekers and also employers?
Well, you know, I think the main thing that we've been trying to do of late for job seekers is simply try to get more information out to them. Lately, we've been spending a lot more time on things like what can cause someone's clearance to be denied, especially as they go through a periodic reinvestigation. We've been spending more time looking at the clearance process. We've been spending time looking at use and misuse of technology, foreign influence. Unfortunately, financial considerations like bankruptcies and foreclosures are more and more at play these days, even with cleared people, and trying to take a look at those and help job seekers understand what their options are and what they can do if they are experiencing some problems to maintain their clearance, which, you know, they all know is a pretty valuable resource. As far as employers go, we've been trying to help them out as much as possible, utilize social media, but focus it in on cleared people, and that's really where the Cleared Network comes into play. We're very excited about it, and it's proven to be extremely useful for actually connecting employers and job seekers, which is something that, you know, many years ago just didn't happen. You might go to a job fair and actually shake someone's hand, but with Facebook and Twitter and other social sites being the norm now, job seekers have new expectations. They want to be able to connect directly with those people responsible for hiring,
sure.
And that's what we've been doing.
Thank you so much for coming on Fed Access. We're going to check within a couple months and continue to follow these trends as more and more is happening. But thanks so much for all the advice, Evan.
Thank you, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.